Okay, so we begin here. So we're in Simon Ayan Reish Hay, or not Reish Ayan Hay, but Ayan Reish Hay. The issue of the Psuchos and the Stumos. So just quickly, what are our terms here? So when you look in the Sefer Torah, so there are paragraphs, right? So the paragraphs sometimes end in the middle of a sentence and then are blank until the end of the sentence, until the end of the line, and then the next paragraph begins in the beginning of the next line. And sometimes that's a psuchos, it's an open separation, and sometimes it's a sesumos, a closed separation, where all it's going to be is a couple of gap, a couple of letters length gaps, a couple, nine letters is the ideal, as we'll see. And they have to be kept even there. They have to be, and so that's what the terminology is. So first we'll deal with in the Sefer Torah. What? Correct, the pay and the samach. Pay stands for psuchos, and samach stands for sesumos. There you go. And the normally a pay is considered to be a stronger break. So we'll see. There is an issue. There are a couple of issues here that are not so practical anymore now that all Sefer Torah are looking the same. However, the issue still continues to rear its head in Hilchos Tefillin. It is a major, major dispute in Hilchos Tefillin, to the point that some people can't wear other people's tefillin as a result, even though nobody really knows the halacha. So so I'm not sure we're going to get quite to the tefillin today. We'll see. But here we go. The halacha of psuchos and sumo. So in the Torah really spells it out pretty clearly. So we could just read it there. All the Gemara comments about is that if you do a stumos psuchos or the and if you mess it up, you passel the entire Sefer Torah, right? So you have to, those breaks are considered halacha Moshe Mitzinai. That's the way the Torah was brought down for Moshe Rabbeinu. And if you mess it up, you've messed it up. You've messed up the entire Torah. So comes the Torah here. It says, Parshas Psuchos Ol Yasen Estuma, V'estuma Lo Yasen Psucha, V'im Shina B'shtehem Psulap. And if you mess up either one of them, it's going to be passel. The Chasav HaRambam, and the Rambam writes, She'ein Lo Takana, V'tzarech Lahasir Kol HaYiriya. And the Rambam writes, and there's no way of fixing it, and therefore you got to get rid of the entire urea. I mean, if you've messed up that psucha or that stuma, so then it's over. At least that's what it sounds like from the Torah's presentation of the Rambam. It's about only over for one sheep. Right. The Torah is pasul, and there's no way of fixing it, is what the Rambam is saying. So the only way to salvage the rest of the Sefer Torah is to remove that urea, right, that section, and put in a different section. Okay, comes the Rush and says, "Vaduni avi harush zal kasev b'tshuva." Devadai moel otikun. Of course, you could fix it. Why wouldn't you be able to fix it? Kimishemoel tikun b'tolos shel chaserus v'yaserus. Kol shekim b'tikun aparshios. If fixing can work with regards to chaserus and yaserus, meaning letters that are spelled wrong because there's an extra vav there or something like that, kol shekim, certainly fixing the parshios up would be permissible to do. So what is the, right? Ella she'eini yodea ich yitakein. The problem is not whether you can do it. The problem is not whether you may do it. The problem is whether you can do it. Right? It's going to be difficult to do. Right? She'eini yodea. I don't really know how to fix it. Ivos hapsuchos vastumos. Mistakes with regard to the paragraph breaks. Ki atzarech limcho karbe lefanav ulacharav, because it's going to require that you erase a lot before and after. V'shema yizdamin lo shem, and you're going to come across the shem Hashem. V'gamay atzarech lemay taksav, you're also going to have to make letters smaller. B'shil revach shevein parsha leparsha, because of the space needed between each parshios. V'davar zeh aser ad kan, and that's going to be aser to do. So the Rush says it's not really that it's that you can't do it. That you may not do it. It's just that you can't do it. It's going to be very difficult because of all of those halachos of making letters smaller. You're not supposed to do and getting rid of the Shem Hashem. That's going to be a significant problem. So therefore it's just a practical difficulty. Now the truth is you look up. You find a correctly fitting urea. There you have four columns to work with to readjust the size or whatever, however many columns are in that urea. I think between 3 and 8 was, we had this a couple weeks ago. I think the, between 3 and 8 was the size.
Alright, that's a little different. Okay.
So, fine. So that is the, that's our starting point. What about the Shita, is the Shita Saram, do we follow it? So the truth is, it's unclear whether it's even an issue. If you look in the Beis Yosef here, it says Ve'efshar Shetama Mishum De Messiah Bebraisa Rei Elu Yignuzi. So first of all, where did the Rambam get this from that it's not salvageable? Because the Gemara says on that section when the Gemara lists off the psulim of the Sefer Torah, he says if you have psuchos and stumos mixed up, Harei Elu Yignuzi, you have to put in Geniza. So suggests the Beis Yosef. That's what tipped the Rambam off, right? The other, if there's a mistake in writing, so the Gemara, I'm not sure, I've got to take a look. I forgot what the Gemara exactly says. I think the Gemara says, fix it, right? Or it's possible until you fix it. But the fact that the Rambam, with this, the Gemara says, no, you got to put it away. So therefore the Rambam says, it must be that you have to put it away. So, or, Vinami, or Mishum de Tikunun Rachuk, or maybe the Beis Yosef suggests, maybe it's just very hard to fix, as the Rush writes. And that's his suggestion. The truth is, the rest of the Beis Yosef is discussing other Rishonim that side with regards to this Rambam, as opposed to whether it is strict, whether it is prohibited to fix, or whether it is implausible to fix. Right? That's the Machlokas Achronim, how to understand this Rambam. Let's. So let's take a look. Let's just do this whole section first, I guess. So let's take a look in the Shulchan Aruch itself. We could skip in the source sheet, I guess we're on page, where are we? Page 4, I think. I think I've been 3 pages of tour. No, 4 pages of tour. Page 5, then. So page 5 has the first page from the Shulchan Aruch here. Let's see, not so easy to read. We're going to get you guys back on the screen. There we go. So the Shulchan Aruch says, Parsha Psucha Sha'asa Stumo, Stuma Sha'asa Psucha, Yignaz, you put in Geniza. Shulchan Aruch doesn't seem to be taking a stand. Now keep in mind, it's all the same person, right? The Beis Yosef, the Shulchan Aruch, and the Kesef Mishnah, which is the comment on that Rambam, are all, it's all the same person, saying, but you say, Lamaisa, practically, you're going to have to put it in Geniza. Now, whether it means practically or whether it means halachically, either way, it's going to have to be put into Geniza, says the Shulchan Aruch. The Yeshom says the Ramad. The Matul Latakno Kamo B'Shar Tayos. What do you mean? It's like a mistake like others. Others, you can fix it. The Chay Nagu Hasofrim Latakno Im Efshar Lo Limchok. Shelo Yifka B'Shem. And that's the minute. The minute of the Sofrim is to fix it. If it's possible to do the erasing in a way that you will not be mifageya the shame Hashem, right? Ki ein lo lachto Hashem v'lasos nekavim b'irios, because it is not correct to cut out the shame and to make holes in the urea. Now that's the part that's a little bit unclear. What exactly is he talking about there, right? But just the simple point of the Ramah, assuming the Ramah is only saying one halacha here, the Ramah is saying that you could fix it. But it's very hard to do because you don't want to erase the Shem Hashem. By the way, there's a further issue with regards to Sifrei Torah, and that is, what is the Shem Hashem, right? We know Yudkei Vavkei is a Shem Hashem. We know Elokeinu is a Shem Hashem. But what about Tzvakos, right? What about Elokeinu when it's not actually referring to Hashem, but referring to judges, lowercase Alephs, right? So that's probably specifically referring, that's actually not the Shem Hashem. Right, shindalad yud. Right, those types of words are complicated with regard. It's a little unclear whether that those qualify as the Shem Hashem or not. I remember, it came to me now. There is Shem Hashem. There the. Well, there are the different sofrim. Therefore, have the list, right? So there. So this is the. So one of the chumras by Sefer Torah is actually. I think we spoke about this. I think last week or 2 weeks ago. To say l'shem kedusha Hashem every time you write the Shem Hashem. So he points out here that there's many places in the Torah where it's unclear if a particular shame is the Shem Hashem or not. He says the first such example is found in the beginning where it says, by creating man, where it says, Vayivra Elokim es Hadam b'tzalmo, b'tzalem Elokim bara usam. So now there's a machlokas about whether the word Elokim is referring to Hashem or whether it's referring to angels. So, right, so they say, be mekadesh al tanai. So even with that, there becomes machlokasim as to what there is and what there isn't, and what's considered a hint to Hashem and what it's not. So there are lists that are out there, but it's, you know, to try to be mekayim that chumrah is sometimes hard to do if it's trying to figure out which ones are all the Shem Hashem. So the same thing here, right? If you're going to talk about adjusting the Shi'ir Parsha because of the Shem Hashem, so then that's going to be, you might be led into disputes as to what is considered a Shem Hashem and what's not. Now the Rama adds in here a somewhat cryptic line. He says, "Shelo yifka beHashem ki ein lo lachto Hashem," because you can't erase the shame, "velasos nekavim biyuria," and place holes in the urea. So what is he talking about there? What is that referring to? So if you look at the Shach says, "Lachor nira shemitam sha aser lasos nekavim biyuria aser." That's a reason that it's prohibited is because you're not allowed to make holes in the urea, and that's what the Turei Zav says. Right? So what is the Ramah saying? Right? Ein lo lachto Hashem and make holes in the urea. So it sounds like there's an isser of making holes in the urea, but then the Shach says, wait a second, v'yishalu, you can't say that. Dim kein my iri kishavugei b'shem. But then the first half of the sentence doesn't make any sense, right? What was the sentence? You can't erase the shem Hashem because you can't cause holes to be in the parchment. So the Shach says, well, which one is it, right? If you erase any shame, anything, it's going to cause holes to be in the parsh, right? Which one is it? So afilu tevos acherus havalei less or mitam shegnaihu lasos the kavim biyuria, right? That should mean that you can't get rid of any other letters either. V'o d'loshon harash b'tshuva shekasev chaser shol nikto gal achzaris, and he quotes a couple of proofs pointing out why that would be a problem. So skip down a little bit in the copy that I have. It's four lines from the bottom. I'm not sure. It looks like it's probably smack in the middle of the Taz. It says Lachay Nira. So he gives an answer. I'm kind of skipping the way he builds up the question with a couple of other proofs. But he says Lachay Nira Sharav Kasav Velasos Nekavim Biyuria Lafuki Shimaya Hashem Kasav Mitchila Al Matlis. That what he's saying is that we're excluding the case where the name was already written on a matlis, shahaya devuka benekev, that was already connected to the hole. What's a matlis? So we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, right? A matlis is just a piece of parchment. But a matlis in Hilchos Sefer Torah is a patch that's put in the back of the Torah. So it's not ideal to have these matlis in, but, you know, it doesn't look nice, first of all, and there are some halakhic questions about it. But, you know, we rely on a b'dieved, and we have a few, in our Sefer Torah, we have a few matlisim. Although the truth is, I'm not sure I've seen any that are actually have words written on them, right? But technically, you can put a matlis in there, and make it better. Now so what's he saying here? That let's say the Shem Hashem is already written on a matlis. So can I say, all right, well, I'm going to erase everything, and I'm not going to erase the Shem Hashem because it's on a patch. I'll just pluck the patch off, right? And therefore, I won't have this problem anymore. So the Shach is saying that's what's mutter. Shaz mutter lahasir hamatlis im Hashem. The dafke shechotech Hashem mahayuria b'inyan she'osa nekev. And maybe it's only if you make a hole of the shame from the urea. That's where you make a hole. As aser to be zayin hu likor Hashem aval kashu kosev al matlis. Shari, maybe if it's on a matlis, be mutter lahasir l'tzorach tikun. V'chein tzorach lefarish divrei harib ben harash shehivya beis Yosef. So therefore telling you that you're not allowed to do that. What? Any hole by itself doesn't make it puzzle. We spoke last week, a couple of weeks ago, about if a hole's right next to a letter, it could potentially make it puzzle. That's worse. Even that was a little bit of a subject to a dispute. And if you patch it up, so then it could be better. Yeah, Sheldon, what do you...
I understood what the Rama was saying, but you can't erase Hashem's name by wiping it out. So what you would have to do to remove it would be to cut it out. suppose you preserve the name on that piece of butt. But he says you shouldn't do that because it makes a hole in the butt.
Right. Well, then you would, right, then you would put it in Seamus.
But he's saying he shouldn't do that. Make holes in
it. Oh, you're right. Yeah, I think you're right. Right, so that's what the Shach is saying. L'chei nir sh'arav kazav lasos nekavim b'yiril afuke she'im haya... Right, as opposed to the case... Sorry, you're right. As opposed to the case where you did have a matlis. Ah, and therefore you would be permitted to benek if sha'az mutter l'hasya matlis im ha'shem. In which case it would be mutter to remove the matlis with the shem Hashem already on it. The dafka shtukha shem mihayari, it's only if you're cutting it out from the original parchment that that would be a problem in sha'osa nekev azasa. That would be a bizayin hulik to Hashem. But it's already written on a matlis, so then it would be mutter. You're right. Okay, thank you. That's what the Shach is bringing down here. And that's the halacha that's being hinted to by the Ramah. Okay, so the... okay, so as you can see towards the bottom of the page, there are a couple of pretty lengthy Piskei Tshuvas here, and I would love to be able to go through each one of them line by line, because all of them are exciting, but of course that would take us a very long time. But just to get a flavor of some of the issues here that are discussed, so I found one, the in number Beis. Let's go to number Beis, right, where Yishasa Stuma O Stuma Shasa Psucha. So there he quotes from the Noda Bihuda. He says, Ayin B'tshuvas Noda Bihuda, Tinyana, right, the second volume, Chelik Yerodeya Simon Kuf Ayin B'Sefer Torah, Shenimsa B'Parshas Devarim. So you have a Sefer Torah that was found in Parshas Devarim, B'Parshas Stuma, Shebein V'Nesev Esahar Seir Yamim Rabim, Uvein Vayomer Hashem. So I trekked through Parshas Devarim tonight. It's towards the end of Devarim. Oh, hello, Bob. Towards the end of Devarim, you have this stuma, right, which means that you have just a small gap between the words "v'nesavas harsir yamim rabim" and "vayomer Hashem." Okay, shesayim hasofer yamim rabim. So now, what happened? The sofer finished the words yamim rabim be'emtsa shita hatachdona, in the middle of the bottom line of a column, right? V'chasav milas vayomer berosh hadaf, and then he wrote vayomer at the top of the next column, right? So that's a problem because it should be a stuma, right? It should be a it should be on the same line, and he wrote it as a psucha, right? Plus he put the word vayomer on the top of the next column. So v'nimsa, all right, v'nimsa sh'asa psucha madina, right? So it turns out that he made it a psicha. So what's now the halacha? So v'hevi divrei, I'm not sure what that is, or is that ruah aleph zion? Do you have is that written out for you in the If you have the fancy editions, I don't know. B'shas Hashu is Panim Iros, Chelik Beis Simon Chaf Dalid, Shehora Limchok Milas Vayomer. So the suggestion was, let's erase the word Vayomer on the top of the column, V'lichtuv Osa B'sof Shit Tachtona, and write it at the bottom of the bottom column, right? So far, so good. So V'tia Parsha Stuma. So now you're going to have a Parsha Stuma. So V'afshi Yishar Chelik Barosh Shita, and even though now you're going to have a... you're going to have a open spot at the top of the next column. Leislamba, that's not a problem. Meaning the word Vayomer is now going to be removed from the top of the next column. He says, no, you don't have to worry about that. Why? Kivin she'eno shir tes osios. Because that's not a shir of nine osios, right? What word are we getting rid of? Vayomer. Vayomer is five letters, right? It's not nine letters. So it should be okay. The chas of the period. So that's his. So he's saying that that's okay because there's only a small amount of space on the top of the next column. So the chas of. So that was the suggestion of the writer of the question. So the Noda Bihuda responds by saying the chas of the yafa pasak. Yeah, it's a good psak. Achim haya milas vayomer rachav yoser midai. He says, but be careful because if the word vayomer is too long. Right, but ofen she'achar hagreira yishar chelak kidei shalosh tevos yayin, was one of those nine letters, right? So the nine letters could be asher, 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 which is a very, you know, which is the example given in the Safra's books, right? Asher, 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 which are nine very wide letters, or it could be yayin, 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 which is nine very skinny letters. So he says, yeah, better be careful, because the word vayomer, if it's written a little large, so then it could cover nine small letters. right? Ashalosh tevos yayin. So if shar lasos, then you wouldn't be able to do it. Ki rak yasu tikun acher sheyigrar hamem stuma shomilas rabim. And then in which case you would only be able to do a tikun after you, scratch out the word, the stuma of the word rabim, right, which was the end of the previous sentence. Ulamashcha ad sheyishar revach pachos ksas mites osios, and then you can drag it over, mean make one of those wide mems, which gets you within 9 letters of the end of the line. V'yigar milas vayomer v'lachsor v'lachasva ba'osa rosh hashita, and then you would erase the word vayomer and v'lachsor and write it at the top of that next line. El shi'aniach ma'at revach, but leave a little bit of space berosh hashita k'tei lichtov gimel osios b'tzimtzum, so that you could write 3 small letters. In which case you'll have, his suggestion is, to then create a samach, an end of line samach, which is what leads us into the next sif, because we're used to, and there's a good reason why we're used to seeing it, we're used to only seeing peis and samachs in the middle of a sentence, right? In the middle of the line, so you'll see the samachs, which are empty spaces, and sometimes you'll see a pei, which means the line ends. What about, though, if you get up to a samach, you're writing, and then you get up to a samach, and you're at the end of a line, right? So then, what do you do about the next section, right? So the Rishonim then debate, and this now gets us into Sif Beis here. So there's a major machlokas between the Rush and the Rambam about this as well, about how to deal with a pei or samach, a break that appears at the end of a line, right? That's the machlokas. So let's go back up a little bit. On that source sheet, get out the. So if we take a look at the, so interestingly enough, the tour doesn't. I don't even believe it even quotes the Rambam. Right. So tour is really going within the opinion of his father, the Rush. Maybe the best, what's the best way of doing this? Maybe just reading the Tur to get the sheet of the Rosh and then seeing the Rambam to get the sheet of the Rambam. So the Tur says, Rabbu Hadeus Betzur Sapsuchu, sorry, back in the Tur, the second page of the Tur, so page 2 probably. Right? So what does the Torah say? He says, "V'rabu hadeus b'tzuros habsuchus v'astumus v'chein lo echtov el maskanas adunia v'yarash." Right? There's many, many different opinions about the psuchus and stumus, and therefore I'm only going to write the sheet of the rush. So habsucha tzricha shetei psucha b'sof hashita o b'tchila k'dei tisha osios. So with the psucha, so there's 2 ways of doing it. One is the psucha is at the end of the line, right? Goes all the way to the end of the line, or there's, and this is the psucha, meaning this is the you know, when there's nothing till the end of the line. So he says you can either go till the end of the line, and then we'll see what he does with that, or you have to leave enough space to leave over 9 letters until the end of the line, right? So every pei doesn't end, you know, all the way at the end of the line. You need 9 letters space. Hilkachi nishar b'shita adayin k'dei lichtov tesha osios. So therefore, if you leave over on the line enough to write 9 letters or more, oh Yosir, Yaniach, leave it. Yaniach chelek v'yaskel b'rosh hashishar shetachdeha. So leave it, the rest empty, chalak, empty, right? And v'yadchil, and you'll begin in the beginning of the next line. Okay? And that's what we're used to seeing in all of our Sifri Torah. However, v'nishar pachos mizel, let's say there's less than 9 letters there, 9 letters space there. O shesayim b'sof hashita, or you finish all the way at the end of the line. So what do you do then? Yaniach k'dei tisha osios b'rosh shita shetachdeha. He says, so then you leave over 9 letters worth at the beginning of the next line, and then you'll continue from there. Now, we don't see this in our Sefer Torahs at all, for reasons that we'll see shortly, because the Rambam is going to have a totally different understanding of what to do under those circumstances, right? But what would happen here is that, right, you would get to the end of the line, and then you would begin. And then the next line would begin indented, right? So far, so good. Okay, how does the Rush deal with a stuma now? Right, so that was all psuchas. That was the large openings. Stuma. You need a space of at least 3 letters. As long as there's enough room to place three letters there, we'll haskel parsha acheres and begin the next parsha. That's what you should do. So just have the samach in the middle of the page. But if there's not enough space, yaniach kol shita shetachteha chalak v'yachr betchilas shita shlishis. Says the Rush, leave the entire next line empty. Just have an empty line in the Sefer Torah. And v'yadchil v'tchilas, and then you'll just begin on the beginning of the third line, right? And that's the way you would conclude this. V'imsayim hastum v'sof hadaf, and if you finish at the end of a daf, of a column, z'yaniach shita elyona, shel rosh hadaf, chalak, v'yadchil b'shniya. So then you leave the top line of the next column empty, right? And then you begin on the second line, right? So the Rush is saying, how do you deal with a stuma issue, a stuma at the end of the line, or where you don't have room to put a stuma within the context of the line? He says, leave an empty line, and that's how you know that it is a stuma, okay? So the end of the book is multiple lines. Okay, so then, okay. Yes, according to the Rush, the Rush would say, yeah, that a stuma is going to, under these circumstances, be larger. He says, "Vodish betikun so from parsha sedurav hu shechasav shita ad chetzia o ad shal shtiha umarchel b'shita shetachtel keneg hanachas al yonav and nirashim." And he says there's some that have a mistake about this, and fine, and you shouldn't. And he says, and if you made a mistake, that if you made a mistake by that, says the Rush, it's not possible because it's not mefurish in the Gemara as to what to do under these circumstances. Okay, that's the shita of the Rush. Comes the no. So we're not going to have it. We don't have it because it's become standardized. Correct. Now, if you look at the I think in the Sam book here, so he must have found an old Sefer Torah or something that has it, and they do have it. I don't know, he found a paragraph here, an example from an old Sefer Torah. Okay? So, now if we go to the next... What? What was that? That was from a Sefer Torah, yeah.
Not one of the standardized ones that we have.
Correct. It's an older one. Yeah, he doesn't make that note, but yeah, it's an older Sefer Torah where apparently that it happened. What?
Did they do that?
No, so we talked about the standardization a couple of weeks ago with regards to the yuds on the top. However, I don't think that the Tur himself talks about a tikkun, right? He mentioned it here. So the tikkun that where they made it so that you could have a yud, the vav hamudim on the top of the columns, so that became standard in the 1800s. But I think before then, there were standardized editions that existed. Okay. So if you go to the next page, right, so the Beis Yosef spends a lot of time analyzing the Rush and then spends a lot of time analyzing the Rambam. We'll just see what the Rambam here says. He says, Va'Rambam, you got on page 3, I think, of the tour. So the Rambam there says, he quotes the Rambam on the right, Beis Yosef, about 10 lines down. Remember, the tour said, I'm not going to bother quoting any of their opinions. Says the Rambam, Kasav Paraches Parshas Psucha Yeshlo Beis Suras, right? There's two types of doing a Psucha. In gamar be'emtza shita, if you finish in the middle of the line, maniach shar hashita panois, and leave the rest of the line open, right? Umarchel haparsha shehi pesucha mitchilas hashita shnias. Then begin the second paragraph on the next line, right? That's what we're used to do. But medvar mamurim, when do we say that? Shenishar min hashita revach kashir tes osios. So long as you have enough space, 9 letters. Avalim lo nishar ela ma'at, but if you only have a smaller amount, oim gamar besof shita, or if you finish to the end of the line, Maniach shita shnia below ksav, make a second line without any writing. Umatchil haparsha hapsucha mitchilas shita sagimel, and then begin the next paragraph on the next line. V'nimsa panoi b'nehem shita, in which case you will have an open space between them of a line. So now you have a big problem, right? Because the Rush said, how do you resolve the stuma issue? If you have a stuma going to the end of the line, he says, leave an open line. The Rambam here says, how do you deal with a psucha issue when the psucha goes to the end of the line? The Rambam says, you leave an empty line, right? So what does an empty line mean? According to the Rush is going to say, oh, I know what an empty line means. An empty line means it was a parsha stuma, and that's how I identify it, right? While the Rambam is going to say, no, I know what an empty line is. An empty line means that it's a, right? So he, it's cute in the book Inside Stam, he shows you another picture about how the Rambam would deal with the stuma and he shows a picture of how the Rambam would deal with a psucha and how the Rush would deal with a stuma. And it's actually the same exact picture that he puts in both places. I'm not sure. I could look it up. It's a pasuk in Achri Mos, apparently. I don't know if it's a pei or a samach, right? It's only kosher according to one of those two opinions, right? So anyway, so that's the she. In a psucha, right? The Rush said that you should just start the next line in the middle. Right. And then the Rambam continues on and says, what's a parsha stuma? Yesh le gimel tzuros. There's three examples of a stuma, right? Im gamar be'emtza shita, if you finish in the middle of a line, right? Maniach revach kashira umarchil lichto besof hashitas, and you leave a space, and then you continue on, right? Shita teva achas, mitchilas haparsha, shehi stuma, at sheyimsa harevach, I'm sorry, I got lost here. Im gamar be'emtza shita, maniach revach kashira umarchil lichto besof hashita, teva achas, mitchilas haparsha, shehi stuma, right? From the next parsha, which is a stuma. At sheyimsa harevach be'emtza, until you find space in the middle. I'm not sure how to read that exactly. Actually, yimtz, until you find the space in the middle, I'm not sure what that is. Okay. V'imlo nishar min hashita. If you don't have enough space, k'di laniach harevach kashir v'lichto v'sof hashita, and right at the end, teva achas, yaniach hakol panos, then you leave the rest of it empty. V'yaniach ma'at revach mirosh shita shnia. So then you should leave a little bit of space on the top of the next line. V'yatchil lichtov haparsha hastuma me'emtza hashita hasheniya. And then you should begin writing the parsha stuma from the middle of the next line. Right? So the Rambam says that you should, if you have a stuma and you don't have enough room to include it in the next thing, so then you should write a little bit, you should leave the rest blank and indent the next line off of that blank, which is going to be the same as the... No. Okay, which could potentially be the same as the Rush for Psuchos. And v'im gamar besofer, if you finish at the total end, maniach betchila shita shnia kashi harevach umarchil lichtov hastuma me'emtza shita. So then you would start writing the next stuma in the middle of the next line. The name says, Omer sheparsha psucha tchilas betchilas hashita liolam parsha stuma tchilas me'emtza shita liolam. So what we find happens is that a psucha will always begin in the beginning of a line, and a stuma will always be beginning in the middle of a line. Okay, so that is the machlokas between the Rambam and the Rush, right? So number one, their distinctions are about the empty line, right? The empty line, the Rush says that that would be by a samach, a stuma, while the Rambam says that that would be by a psucha. And furthermore, the Rambam also would say, right, that if you finish towards the end of the line, you would leave a little bit off at the end of one and the beginning of the next one, while the Rush would say, right, the Rush would say that would be the example of skipping a line according to the Rush. Okay, so that is the so we have this machlokas. Now, interestingly, if you take a look, did I put it in on the next page of the Beis Yosef? Do I have it there? No, I'm sorry. On the next page of the Beis Yosef, the Darkei Moshe says, quotes a Masorah that he has to follow the Shita of the Rambam. If you're following inside, on the next page is a Darkei Moshe. So on the right column, the second line from the body says, "Umatzasi kasa michacham echad basra haya nikra harav Lipman." There was a Rabbi Lipman. I don't know, you know. I'm not sure who had names like Lipman back then, but Kasav Beinyan Psuchus Vestumus Mishiyach Lasadra Shiyasi De Kol Gaonim Haretov. That if you could make it so that it is Yotze according to all of the Shitos, meaning the Rush and the Rambam, so then that's all good. Which is why we make a attempt to try to have all of our samachs in the middle of a line, and all well, and so that you'll have be able to start a samach in the middle there, and all the pays to stop in the middle of the line and begin in the next line. Avim lav al yaz, but if not, if you're not able to do that, don't leave the words of the Rambam. Umisadro, right? Ki and go and follow the shittas of the Rambam. Why? Ki kasav dvarav al pisvarim yeshanim shenimsim kedvarav. Because the Rambam found based his opinion on old svarim that he had access to. V'chein nimsa b'sefer Torah shekasav Ezra haSofer. And he even has that in the Sefer Torah, which Ezra HaSofer wrote. So what is the Sefer that Ezra HaSofer wrote? It's something to do with the Aleppo Codex. I'm not sure what it is. There is rumors that the Rambam went to Aleppo or something. Dr. Lyman has an essay on this. Yeah, that what did the Rambam went and may have traveled at some point, and it's unclear what it is, but fine. Discuss that another time, or try to find that article. Therefore, we shouldn't leave it. But anyways, whatever the Rambam found, and this is actually an interesting sugya in the realm of like, what type of art, you know, what manuscript evidence and things like that. How does that what role does that play in halacha? But the Rama is saying that I would trust the Rambam over the Rush, despite the fact that generally the Rama would follow the Rush. He says A, because there is this person out, because based on this Rabbi Lipman, who said that the Rambam had historical evidence that his way was the correct way as opposed to the way of the Rush. So that is the Shita of the Rama. So if you take a look at the in the Shulchan Aruch itself. So all right, I guess page 6 or so of the source sheet. Yeah. No, the second page, page 6, where it says Sif Beis. So he says there, Betsuros Psucha, Betsuros Stuma, in terms of the way that a Psucha is supposed to look and the way that a Stuma is supposed to work, Yish Machlokas being a Rambam Varash, V'yiri Shemaim Yatzes Kulam, right? Yiri Shemaim should attempt to be Yotze both. V'yaseb Inyan Shem Parsha Psucha, Yisayim Parsha Shalafaneha Be'em Sashita, so that a Parsha Psucha, by the way, when it refers to a Parsha as a Psucha or a Stuma, it's referring to the way it starts, meaning what's its relationship to the paragraph before. So the Parsha's Psucha is meaning that it comes after a Pei, right? Yisayim Parsha, so you should, if you have a Parsha Psucha, you should conclude the Parsha before it Be'em Sashita, in the middle of a line. And then you should leave the rest of that line blank. Why? Kedei tisha osios, about 9 letters. And then you'd write in the beginning of the next line. Parsha stuma, and if it's a stuma, tamid yisayim parsha shelefaneha b'tchila shita. And if it's a parsha stuma, you should try to conclude the parsha before it in the beginning of the line. And leave enough space, kedei tisha osios, for 9 letters. Then you'll begin writing at the end of that line itself. Don't do anything else. Lo l'psucha v'lo l'stuma, v'hachi avi kasher, and then you'll be kasher, bein la Rambam, bein la Rush. And that way you'll be yotze according to both. Now, interestingly, the Shulchan Aruch does not continue on and say, well, okay, what if you weren't successful in being able to accomplish that, right? If you're just reading the Mechaber and then you get up to this, like, well, okay, how do I, what if I didn't, right? What if I get to the end of the line and get stuck, right? So what would we pasuk like in that scenario? So at least here in this halachos, there's no way of knowing. In Hilchos Tefillin, You'll get a clue though, but I'm not sure it's really. Let's read the Rama. He says, "V'im lo yuchal l'chavim kach," and if you're not able to do that, lo yasur midivrei Harambam, Right? The Rama says, don't leave from the words of the Rambam Bazeh, ki alav samchu ha'achronim, because that's what the achronim rely on, v'chasu v'dvarav he'mikr. And they write that that is the main shita. Right? When we call makom, we mimsa sefer Torah, she'en aksu l'fi dvarav, ein l'posla. But if you find a sefer Torah that's not following the shita of the Rambam, don't passel it. Ki ish gedolim she'ish lehem svaros acheres bazeh, plus there are other gedolim that had other svaros on this. And I'm like wondering, and therefore what? Right? And therefore... And therefore, we're going to say, like, okay, we could rely on them to shasat chak. Like, I guess that's what the Rama is saying, right? And therefore, we have the right to rely on those shitas. Now, he doesn't actually spell out what the shita is, but the shach here does. The shach goes through what that shita is and actually spells out what the Rambam held. And that's, we read it already about what that shita Sarambam is. I'll just review it from here. And that, rather than work it all out again, right? According to the Rambam would say that all psuchos, that end towards the end of the line, you should leave an empty space. That's when you skip a line. And the Rambam would say by a stumos, if you end a stumos towards the end of the line, so if you have nine or more letters, but you don't have enough room to write the next word, so then you can't begin the next parsha at the beginning of the next line, because that would be a psucha. Rather, you have to indent it. But if it was less than nine letters, so then he should leave. Then you would leave less than nine letters in the beginning of the next paragraph, and that will be your stuma. Okay. Now, where things get complicated, and yeah, I think maybe it's better not to go through the entire things. So again, so we have nowadays in a Sefer Torah, you're not going to find this being a problem because. Right, all the Peis and Samachs are all set up, and you know the Sofrim have it all set up for them in order to write in a way that you'll avoid these issues in accordance with the Sheet of the Shulchan Aruch. But there is one area where you can't avoid this, and that is in Tefillin. This machlokas comes up because Tefillin has four parshios, right? The first three parshios, V'haya, V'yidaber, opposite, which one goes in which order? Kadesh Vayaki Viecha Shema, all of those are parshos psuchos. So therefore they all begin in the beginning of a line. So I put on the source sheet, I put a copy of a page, right? At the very end. Yeah. So here are copies from the Shel Yad Tefillin. Right, so you see, they all the tefillin begins vayidaber v'haya shema. Truth is, I'm not sure if it's a shel yad or shel. Either way, right, it begins at the beginning of the line. The problem is v'haya is a stuma parsha, right? V'haya is a comes after a samuch. So therefore, how much space would there be necessary? At the end, if you leave too much space at the end of the Shema beforehand, right? So then you can't begin V'haya in the beginning of the line, right? So therefore you would have to indent the V'haya in the beginning of the line, right? You would have to skip a line, which isn't necessarily going to work in Hilchos Tefillin. Yes. Correct. Right, so we all do indent the v'hayas. The question is how much to indent the v'haya. And that ends up being a machlokas between the Rambam and the Rush. It's sort of spelled out here. Well, not really the Rambam. It sort of comes with the machlokas Rambam and the Rush, but the Shulchan Aruch Paskins like the Rambam. And then there is a Taz that came up with a different way that he thought could be yotzei both shitos. So what you end up having is a machlokas between the Mechaber and the Taz, and the Sfardim, their minig is to follow the Rambam and the Mechaber, and Ashkenazim, their minig is to follow the Taz, to the point that Sfardim would say that you can't be Yotzei according to the Taz. So I think we'll save that, we'll just begin with that next week, the Shulchan Aruch and the Mishnah Berurah and slash the Taz on Hilchos Tefillin. Just so we could see, if you want, I have here, right? You can see in the book, but here I have happen to have a parsha. Don't pay any attention to the ksav, because the ksav's not very good. But there, that's the standard Ashkenazi one, as opposed to a Sephardi one, which would go all the way to the end of the line and begin the next begin the Shema further into the line. And that would and ends up being, you know, different traditions as to how to do this. So all right, we'll pick up with that Mirsa Hashem next week. Okay. All right, 8 o'clock, everybody. Sam, are you able to? You think you'll be able to make it?
8 o'clock.
Wait, it's gonna stop snowing at like 5 or 6, and they'll plow everything.